real.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
And now we enlighten you with verses 162 to 165 of chapter Al-An'am from the Holy Quran, recited by Murtaza Fatemi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين قل أغير الله أبغي ربا وهو رب كل شيء ولا تكسب كل نفس إلا عليها ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى ثم إلى ربكم مرجعكم فينبئكم بما كنتم فيه تختلفون وهو الذي جعلكم خلائف الأرض ورفع بعضكم فوق بعض درجات ليبلوكم فيما
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Say, surely my prayer and my sacrifice and my life and my death are all for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. No associate has He, and this am I commanded, and I am the first of those who submit. Say, what shall I seek, a Lord other than Allah? And He is the Lord of all things, and no soul earns evil but against itself, and no bearer of burden shall bear the burden of another. Then to your Lord is your return, so He will inform you of that in which you differed. And He it is who has made you successors in the land and raised some of you above others by various grades, that He might try you by what He has given you. Surely, your Lord is quick to requite evil, and He is most surely the forgiving, the merciful.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines. Israeli forces storm the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Fifth day in a row after warplanes bombed several positions of Palestinian resistance groups across the besieged Gaza Strip. China's president censures unilateral sanctions and Cold War mentality amid the West's mounting pressure on Russia over the Ukraine war. And U.S. police face a backlash after a viral video shows officers detaining a crying 8-year-old black boy. Hello and welcome, everybody. Israeli aircraft have conducted new airstrikes on positions belonging to Palestinian resistance groups across the besieged Gaza Strip. The new strikes targeted Palestinians' positions at the center of the enclave and around the city of Khan Yunis in the south of the Gaza Strip. Israel claims the attacks were launched in response to earlier rocket fire from Gaza. Palestinian resistance groups say their air defenses have repelled intruding Israeli aircraft. Israel has increased its strikes on the Gaza Strip amid rising tensions with Palestinians across the occupied West Bank. Palestinian resistance groups in the Gaza Strip had previously warned the regime to stop its atrocities in Al-Quds or face the consequences of its actions. The latest Israeli raids in Al-Aqsa and Al-Quds and the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound have left a large number of Palestinians dead or wounded. Well, joining us now from Gaza is our correspondent, Ashraf Shan. And Ashraf, please bring us up to speed on the recent Israeli attacks and aggression against the Gaza Strip.
Yes, but last night Israeli fighter jets and drones attacked training centers for Hamas's military wing, the Din Qassam Brigades. The first airstrikes took place in the center of the Gaza Strip. And about an hour later, another airstrike targeted also a training center for Hamas south of Gaza City. These attacks took place as the Israeli regime claimed that Palestinian resistance groups fired a rocket from the Gaza Strip towards the Israeli regime. Meanwhile, the Palestinian resistance groups did not sit idle while the Israeli strikes were taking place. They fired their heavy caliber machine guns towards the Israeli fighter jets, repelling them from the skies of Gaza. The Israeli regime so-called Iron Dome missile interception system was triggered by heavy caliber bullets from Gaza in another example of the failure of the multi-billion dollar Iron Dome system from detecting or differentiating between rockets or bullets from being fired from Gaza. The Israeli escalation against Gaza, against the Palestinians specifically, in the occupied Al-Quds and the West Bank, increased in recent days and show a rapid increase since the beginning of the Holy Muslim month of Ramadan. We have to remember that last year, about the same time, in Israeli attacks on Palestinians in the Al-Quds Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood provoked the Palestinians into starting the 11-day war last year that resulted in the killing and injury of hundreds of Palestinians in Gaza, including scores of women and children. In reaction to last night's Israeli airstrikes, Hamas's spokesman Hazem Qasem said that the Israeli strikes will not weaken the Palestinians, quite the opposite. It will make them more determined to fight for Al-Quds and to defend the Palestinian people.
All right, thanks a lot. Asher Shannon joining us from Gaza. Moving on, tensions across the occupied territories are getting worse by the hour, with Israeli forces stepping up their atrocities against worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. At least 8 Palestinians have been wounded by rubber bullets inside the mosque compound that is besieged by Israeli forces. The victims sustain injuries in the head and the neck. Regime troops have been intensifying their assaults on Palestinians in the occupied West Bank, including the worshippers who congregate at the Al-Aqsa Mosque during the fasting month of Ramadan. Meanwhile, Palestinians have been launching operations to counter the Israeli violence. Over the past month, nearly 24 Palestinians have been killed in the West Bank in a spate of retaliatory attacks and confrontations with Israeli forces. And staying with news from Palestine, the resistance movement Hamas is warning Israel against trying to change the status quo of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Head of the movement's political bureau, Ismail Haniyeh, says Tel Aviv is delusional if it thinks it can change the Islamic nature of the compound by occupying it. He says the atrocities being committed in Al-Aqsa will only shorten Israel's presence and they will soon be expelled from Palestine. The Hamas leader says Palestinians will remain steadfast in their defense of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and that Israel's invasion of the holy site is doomed to fail. According to Haniyeh, this is just the beginning of the battle. We're now joined by our correspondent, Mona Candilouz, with us from Ramallah. Mona, please, first of all, bring us up to speed on the recent details that you can give us with regards to the Israeli aggression against Muslim worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and also, if you may, walk us through the recent comments made by Ismail Haniyeh regarding the identity and the Islamic nature of the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound.
Well, we have to mention that tensions have again flared at the Al-Aqsa Mosque when Israeli police officers for the 5th consecutive day raided the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex as Palestinian Muslim worshippers gathered for the Fajr morning prayers. It's for the 5th consecutive day Israeli forces have raided the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex in order to force the Palestinian worshippers out of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and its complex following the prayers in order to allow Israeli settlers enter the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex to raid this Muslim holy site during the one of the Jewish holidays that is known as Passover, because according to these to the Israeli holiday, Israeli settlers are demanded to enter Al-Aqsa Mosque complex and tour it for the Muslims and Palestinians. Of course, it's a raid, it's a storming the Muslim holy site. at the time, it's a Muslim holocaust. Palestinian Muslim worshippers are not allowed to freely move and to freely pray at this mosque during the holy month of Ramadan. At the same time, Israeli police, fully armed Israeli police and soldiers, are protecting Israeli settlers in order to desecrate this Muslim holy site. As the Hamas senior official, the Hamas Ismail Haniyeh, had said and warned that the Israeli regime are trying to divide the Al-Aqsa Mosque and to force the Palestinians not to freely pray inside the mosque. It's an attempt by the Israeli regime to impose more facts on ground. Since years, Israeli regimes had been trying to impose more sanctions and restrictions in order to divide the Al-Aqsa Mosque between Muslims and Jews, between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And Palestinians have been warning from this move. Now it seems that this Israeli fanatic regime, of course, it's supported and fully protected by the Israeli settlers. The majority of the Israeli ministers are settlers. They live in Israeli settlements, actually. So they know that they have to please and satisfy the settlers. That's why they are imposing more restrictions. They are imposing more sanctions against the Palestinians and the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the people of Al-Quds, trying to prevent people to reach their holy site. At the same time, allowing the Israeli settlers to freely enter the Al-Aqsa Mosque. They try to show the world that no, these are normal visits. Only some dozens of Israeli settlers are entering the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex, but in fact we are speaking about hundreds of Israeli settlers protected by hundreds of Israeli soldiers as well, are desecrating and are raiding the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex every day.
All right, thanks a lot, Mona Kandil, joining us from Ramallah. Elsewhere, China's President Xi Jinping has once again taken the Western world to task for imposing sanctions on other countries in a unilateral manner.
In today's world, any unilateralism and extremist egoism are fundamentally unworkable, and any decoupling, cutting off supplies, and extreme pressure are fundamentally unworkable.
Xi called unilateral sanctions abusive and slammed double standards. The Chinese president did not directly mention the West's punitive measures against Russia, but he's repeatedly criticized anti-Moscow sanctions, including those imposed after the start of the war in Ukraine. Elsewhere in his speech, the Chinese president called for building sustainable security architectures and finding peaceful resolutions to global crises through dialogue and negotiations. He also said that efforts are needed to stabilize the global supply chain, adding, however, that China's economy is resilient and not prone to change in the long term. The latest on the Russian war on Ukraine, Kiev says efforts to evacuate civilians from the besieged city of Mariupol have failed because of Russian shelling. Ukraine says Russia did not respect a temporary ceasefire in the city as it's unable to control its own troops on the ground. Civilians are set to be trapped at a steel factory in the city of Mariupol. Russia says Ukrainian militants and foreign mercenaries are hiding there. Moscow has already given two ultimatums to fighters in Mariupol to lay down their arms, but both of them have failed. Meanwhile, the European Union chief Charles Michel says the bloc will stand united in the face of, quote, Moscow's aggression in Ukraine. He says the EU will do all it can to help Kiev win the war. Michel made the comments at a press conference with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky during a visit to Kiev. For his part, Zelensky reiterated his request for Ukraine to become a member of the European Union, adding that this is of paramount importance to Kiev. The violent arrest of a young black boy for apparently stealing a pack of chips has once again sparked outrage across the U.S., bringing to the fore the issue of police brutality. The incident happened in Syracuse, New York. The viral clip has been watched millions of times on social media, with many users accusing the white officer of racism. The man filming the incident accuses the police of treating the boy like a cold-blooded criminal. Local media reported that the boy, who was later released without charge, was just 8 years old. The New York State governor described the video as, quote, heart-wrenching. The New York police said it would investigate the incident, adding, it's also reviewing body camera footage of the incident. February, a video of police in New Jersey violently tackling a black teenager during a mall fight with a young white man sparked outrage. It prompted the state's governor to condemn what appeared to be racially disparate treatment. After a two-year absence, the Finsbury Park Street Iftar returned to North London to celebrate Ramadan and to mark the anniversary of the terror attack in June 2017 that cost one worshiper his life and injured many more. Celebrated as coming together of communities, it was a timely reminder that unity was needed more than ever to fight racism and Islamophobia in the UK. Amina Taylor joined us in the festivities and filed this report from the British capital.
For the first time since the onset of the COVID pandemic, hundreds of people of faith and none gathered in the shadow of North London's Finsbury Park Mosque to enjoy a breaking of the fast in a public setting. The iftar, backed by the local council and organised by Finsbury Park Mosque, Muslim Welfare House and British Muslim charity Islamic Relief, was an opportunity for the community to gather, celebrate and reflect.
It's good to show solidarity, Muslim, non-Muslim, Jews, Christian, all coming together to share a meal. This is a very powerful message that we are united, we are all at one despite our differences.
It's important because it's a very visible sign of the friendship and, you know, the togetherness that we have all through the year, actually. But and it's such lovely hospitality.
For me, it's an opportunity to, I suppose, show solidarity with my Muslim sisters and also, as Pauline said, take part in this wonderful experience.
It's no coincidence that this gathering is taking place during Ramadan, one of the most revered periods in the Islamic calendar, a time not just for abstention and reflection, but to help those who are less fortunate.
Ramadan is a time when we're always thinking about our friends, our family, our neighbours, our community at large. And I think it's one of those moments when we can all gather together, especially after the last couple of years when we haven't been able to do that.
The street iftar party was first organised in June 2017, just days after the terror attack in the Finsbury Park area on Muslim worshippers during the month of Ramadan that cost one man his life and injured nine others. The public iftar was a way for communities to show solidarity and silence hatred with hope.
Tonight, we celebrate. We celebrate the achievements of the Muslim community in this area. We celebrate and thank them for all that they do, and we enjoy a wonderful iftar supper.
This is in memory of our beloved brother Makram Ali, who lost his life in this incident, unfortunately. And we are here. We want to have it every year to, you know, remember what's happened and try to bring communities together after what's happened. And this is the main idea, is to bring us together, to say to those who try to divide us and spread hatred, fear and division that you will not succeed. We are together and we will be always together. Islamophobia has no place in our society, and we should all fight it.
At a time of global disunity, one small corner of North London is showing there is another way. Amina Taylor, London.
That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
This is the Heart of Life pounding IRIB English Radio.
the supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Ramadan, the month of opportunities. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, indeed we sent it down on the night of ordainment. What will make you understand what the night of ordainment is? The night of ordainment is better than a thousand months. In it, the angels and the spirit descend by the leave of their Lord with every command. It is peaceful until the rising of the dawn. The night of Qadr or ordainment are in fact a ray of hope in the blessed month of Ramadan. They are the nights whose value and greatness cannot be measured. The bond of servants with their Lord began in the start of Ramadan, but it reaches its climax on these nights. As a matter of fact, the night of Qadr is one night, but according to the infallible successors of the Prophet, it has been hidden among the 19th, 21st, and 23rd nights so that the faithful spend more time to appeal to Allah and spend more time to seek forgiveness from Him. Over six centuries after the birth of Prophet Jesus, peace upon him, just when the ecclesiastical bigotry had stopped thinking and growth of sciences among the Christian communities, God ordained a new prophet to guide people. The first words that God revealed to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, were the following. Read in the name of your Lord who created man from a clinging mass. Read, and your Lord is the noblest, who taught by the pen, taught man what he did not know. This shows the high position of knowledge, learning, and thinking in Islam. The Noble Quran always calls on Muslims to apply reason and reflect on God's signs everywhere. The Quran clearly tells the people to think over different phenomena and believe through thinking rather than blind following. Ayah 242 of Surah Baqarah reads, "Thus does Allah clarify His signs to you so that you may apply reason." The word aql, or intellect, and its derivatives have been mentioned 49 times in the Quran. In all these cases, people and Muslims have been invited to think and use their intellect in the signs of God. The Prophet of Islam and his infallible successors, as the true interpreters of the Quran, used to emphasize on reasoning and thinking. They have said that thinking for 1 hour is better than worshipping for 60 or 70 years. The Prophet says, "Every good thing is recognized by intellect, and he who does not have intellect has no religion." Imam Ali, peace upon him, says, "God has placed intellect without mean desires in the angels, and has placed mean desires without intellect among animals. But in man, the intellect and mean desires have been combined. So, he whose intellect overcomes his mean desires is superior to the angels. And he whose mean desires overcome his intellect is inferior to animals." In this part of the program, we will speak about other things that nullify fasting. Injection of any medicine does not nullify fasting except those shots that are nutritious or invigorating. So, the kinds of injections which are done for benumbing do not nullify fasting. In addition, injection of hepatitis B does not nullify fasting because it is hypodermic. Distilled water will nullify fasting if it is injected in the vessel, but if it is injected in the muscle, it will not nullify fasting. Blood injection will nullify fasting. However, usage of suppositories does not nullify fasting. But it is better not to have endoscopy in Ramadan, even if it does not carry anything into the stomach. As it was said before, giving enema nullifies fasting. Well, going back to the virtues of Ramadan, let us see what Imam Sadiq says on the fasting of this month. The Imam says, "Haven't you heard what Maryam, daughter of Imran, said? Indeed, I have vowed a fast for the All-Beneficent, so I will not speak to any human today." Maryam held a fast of silence. Thus, when you fast, keep your tongue from lying. Close your eyes from indecent scenes. Do not quarrel with each other. Do not be jealous of one another. Do not backbite. Do not be angry with each other. Do not swear falsely. refrain from difference with each other. Do not insult. Do not call one another with evil nicknames. Do not dispute with each other. Do not wrong one another. Do not be unwise. Do not be upset with each other. Do not be negligent of God's remembrance and ritual prayer. Once a man asked Imam Sadiq, peace upon him, to introduce God to him. The sixth Imam said, suppose that you are sailing on a ship and suddenly there is a strong storm. You are caught in the huge waves and you feel that none of the ships around can rescue you. Yet your heart is drawn toward a power which can rescue you. You ask him for help and know that he can rescue you. That reality is the compassionate and merciful God.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Ramadan.
My name is Joshua, and I converted to Islam in 2005 when I chose the name Mahdi for my Islamic name. I was very interested in different cultures and religions and new things that you cannot find in a country like Germany. I had a friend who was from Pakistan who owned a shop. One day in the month of Ramadan, the month of fasting, I was invited by him to his mosque. When I came to that mosque, there were several leaflets and books, also a few Qurans, which I looked at. And one Quran that I found was translated to German. When I started reading the Quran, it made me a lot calmer. I thought to myself, if you accept the hereafter, and if you accept the, if you accept that there is one God, and that there has to be a God, then why don't you want to convert to Islam? My first experience of fasting was not in the month of Ramadan, but it was in the month of Rajab, which comes before Ramadan. I started my fast, and I couldn't do it. I had to break the fast in the afternoon at around 3 or 4 o'clock because it was so hot and it was so difficult for me to fast without drinking. I was not even hungry, but the heat and the fact that I didn't drink any, that I didn't drink anything for almost 12 or 11 hours was pretty difficult for me, and it made me break my fast on that day. But I remember the first day of Ramadan in the same year, I did the whole month of Ramadan.
Ramadan is the ninth month of the lunar Islamic calendar. The visual sighting of the crescent moon signals the beginning of Ramadan, which lasts 29 to 30 days. In this month, Muslims fast from dawn till dusk and are encouraged to dedicate a portion of their day to prayer, reading their holy book, the Quran, and reflection. Iran's holy city of Qom has been a hub for Islamic schools and scholars for centuries. The Faizia School is the most important Islamic school in the world and one of the oldest in Iran. Many prominent scholars of Islam studied here and are now teaching here themselves. Many of them have been influential in interpreting the Quran. Fasting is practiced in other religions like Christianity and Judaism as well.
Fast is just about going
without. Yvonne Ridley is an activist who has reverted to Islam.
Of course, there is fasting in Christianity, but it's more symbolic now. Both Moses and Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and we're told that they went without food and water. It was really quite a marathon. Christians in the run-up to their Easter go through a period of fasting called Lent, in which they give up something. Quite often it's something like cigarettes or chocolate, so it's quite symbolic, and it's not the daily test that Muslims put themselves through by simply not eating, not drinking, avoiding confrontational situations, having no physical sexual contact and the like.
Layla is an American living in Iran who converted to Islam years ago. She says Islam gave her life direction.
At the time, I was actually searching for a purpose in life, a goal, a direction in life. I knew that Christianity, I was Christian, didn't give me the answers that I really wanted. It wasn't specific enough for me. I wanted something that gave me a reason for why we're here, a purpose. And I liked Islam because it is the most complete religion, and there is a rule or a prescription or a goal for everything you do, an explanation. And that suited what I was looking for.
When Muslims fast, they refrain from eating and drinking all the daylight hours. For a first-time faster, this is a challenging experience, especially when they have to go to work as usual, rain or shine.
Basically, for me, it was a very strange experience. It's sort of exciting, but a little bit difficult to start with, because as you're first starting to fast, you've never really experienced this not having this ability to, not being allowed to eat or drink anything all day long. So it was a very unique experience the first year. I was wondering at the beginning, I had a doubt if I would be able to actually fast that, because it was more like late summer, fall, and I had a doubt as well I would be able to fast the number of hours because I hadn't ever done it before. And after the first two or three days of adjusting to it, you realize that it's very easy, and you actually look forward to fasting. So it was a little bit of excitement, apprehension a little bit. Can I do this? Can I not do this? How does everybody else do it in a warm climate? You know, just a lot of questions for me to start with for the first time. But as the days went by and you get into this routine, you realize how easy that Allah makes it for you when you fast. It's not difficult, and you learn for the right reasons.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. O my Allah, for thee I fast, and with the food thou givest me, I break the fast, and I rely on thee.
There are certain things a person who is fasting must not do, but they are only the physical aspects of what's going on within the person's heart and mind. In Islamic countries, the fasting month is a national event, and everyone's in the Ramadan spirit. Naturally, this makes fasting more enjoyable and not eating or drinking more tolerable. But in secular countries, it might be more difficult to fast. Europe has more than 44 million Muslims, and the Americas has around 5 million.
I started my fasting at 4 o'clock in the morning, and of course my family, they are going to be hungry at 12 or 1, and they are going to want to eat their lunch. So in a way, it's quite difficult, especially when you are not used to it, to see people eating in front of you and you yourself having to wait. But I think in un-Islamic countries, one thing that converts habit to is that they see all these things happening. They see the most un-Islamic things happening in their countries, in their homes, in their cities, that once they have it, it is easier for them to do a fasting compared to a person who was born a Muslim in an Islamic country or un-Islamic country. So, yeah, people get used to that. People get used to it, to see people in the streets drinking ice-cold water or eating delicious foods and you're fasting.
It's quite a difficult time for converts to Islam in the West. Very often their families don't support them, are almost hostile to their reversion to Islam. And because there is so much excitement to the build-up for most Muslims, sometimes converts can get forgotten about, and so they have to cope on their own. And it can be quite a difficult time for Muslims.
Muslims don't only fast during Ramadan. Some also fast voluntarily on the 13th, 14th and 15th of Rajab, the seventh month of the lunar Islamic calendar. Muslims spend 3 days in the mosque praying. It's a form of spiritual retreat called i'tikaf that the Holy Quran and Hadith recommend. Lots of students came to the mosque in the University of Tehran to perform their 3-day i'tikaf. There is also a social aspect to fasting. Community spirit and unity are an important part of Ramadan. Millions of people stop eating at one precise moment and start eating again with the sound of the azan. People give alms to the poor and visit family and friends in the holy month to break their fast together.
I think Islam gives us this opportunity to fast once a year to increase that awareness, that heightened sense of your neighbors and community and society and that ability to help others becomes more aware during Ramadan, because then we begin to feel what sometimes our neighbors are feeling, whereas we may be so busy the rest of the year that we're not aware of that, or we take it with a grain of salt, as we would say. We know it's there, we know it exists, but we still go on with our daily lives.
It is a time for great reflection, and it's a time when you think of brothers and sisters across the world and how they spend their Ramadan and how they spend their fasting. And of course, for a large section of the Ummah, hunger is no stranger to them. There are brothers and sisters out there who survive maybe on just one meal a day, especially in places like Niger, which is often blighted by famine.
The fasting month has some very important nights, the most holy being the nights of Qadr. Muslims believe 1400 years ago on these very nights, the Holy Quran was revealed in full to Prophet Muhammad. Muslims pray and read the Joshan Kabir, Joshan Sagir, and Mujir, among other prayers. They believe they are more likely to be answered on these nights.
This Ramadan, during Laylat al-Qadr, which is indeed a very holy night, or three very holy nights, I would like to ask God for curing many issues that have happened in the world, such as the wars in countries like Syria, or people losing their jobs in any part of the world. But one personal thing that I would like to ask is for forgiveness, because I think that every person, even if he tries not to commit a sin, is not able to not commit a sin, because we're not mas'oom. We are not unfailable. We are human, and human do mistakes. And if people do mistakes and they regret their mistakes, they do not repeat them. So I think it's a good occasion to ask God for forgiveness and to not repeat those mistakes, and keep the connection to God that you have re-established in the holy month of Ramadan in the first 20 days and in the last 10 days of that month.
Imam Ali, peace upon him, the barometer of belief. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, everybody, and heartfelt condolences to you all on the start of the morning days of blessed Ramadan. Today, the 19th of Ramadan, is that tragic day in history when the barometer of belief and the supreme symbol of justice was fatally wounded while engrossed in the morning ritual prayer. Stay with us for a special feature in this regard. As a matter of fact, the Grand Man, after spending the first of the three Grand Nights of Qadr in prayer and worship, was struck in the Grand Mosque of Kufa by the poisoned sword of the renegade Abdurrahman ibn Muljam Muradi. Yet, despite the severity of the wound, the first phrase that came to the lips of the commander of the faithful was Fustu wa Rabbul Ka'ba. It means, by the Lord of the Ka'ba, I have succeeded. Let us try to present you a glimpse of the exemplary life of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, the dearest ward, cousin, son-in-law, and divinely designated vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Imam Ali, peace upon him, kept his pledge with God Almighty by tasting the elixir of martyrdom and departing in dignified manner from the mortal world. As the Noble Quran says in Ayah 23 of Surah Ahzab, among the believers are men who fulfill what they pledge unto Allah. Of them, some have fulfilled their pledge, and of them are some who still wait, and they have not changed in the least. Once during his discourse from the pulpit of the Grand Mosque of Kufa, when Imam Ali, peace upon him, was asked to explain this particular ayah, he replied, this ayah was revealed in my honor and that of my uncle Hamza and my cousin Ubayd ibn Harith. The Imam went on to say how the two had fulfilled their pledge with Allah by attaining martyrdom. Ubayd ibn Harith in the Battle of Badr and Hamza in the Battle of Uhud. As for myself, added Imam Ali, peace upon him, I am awaiting a most painful death when this, pointing to his beard, shall be drenched from the blood of this, pointing it to his head, and have never changed the least. Imam Ali, peace upon him, said his source of information on the manner of fulfillment of his own pledge to Allah in such a tragic way, or, in other words, his martyrdom, was his cousin and father-in-law, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, in whose lap he had been raised ever since a child. For further details, our listeners could refer to the works of both Sunni and Shia Muslim scholars, including Mustadrak as-Sahihain of Hakim Nishaburi and the exegesis of the Noble Quran, Tafsir Majma'ul Bayan of Tabarsi. We are commemorating these days the anniversary of the tragic event that ended the only instance in history of the model government of justice. Imam Ali, peace upon him, true to his pledge to Allah, attained immortal martyrdom 2 days later on the 21st of the month of fasting in 40 AH in the very manner that a weak pink prophet, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, had prophesied decades earlier at the onset of a fasting Ramadan with the following words, O Ali, I weep for that which will befall you in this month. Visualizing to be in your place when you will be praying to your Lord and the most wicked person of all times, like the one who chopped off the feet of the camel of Thamud, that was proof of Prophet Saleh's divine mission, will strike you on your head, and your beard will be dyed in blood. So fatal was the blow on the morning of 19th of Ramadan from the poisoned sword of that most wicked of the wicked persons, Abdulrahman ibn Muljam, that the Islamic Ummah has still not recovered till this day from its disastrous effect, despite the passing of over a millennium and almost four centuries. The Muslims are still in a state of bewilderment because of their failure to heed the words of the person regarding whom the Prophet had said, "I am the city of knowledge and Ali is its gateway." In other words, in order to properly understand the Sunnah and Sirah, or the behavior and practice, as well as the genuine Islamic message of the Almighty's last messenger to mankind, we have no other choice but to approach him through the proper channel, that is, through Imam Ali, peace upon him, regarding whose pivotal position in Islam the Prophet had also said, "If there was no Ali, peace upon him, it would have been impossible to identify true believers after me." We are commemorating the anniversary of the tragic days that befell the leader of the pious, and this should awaken our conscience to the undeniable facts. On being struck the fatal blow that fulfilled his pledge to Allah, Imam Ali, peace upon him, said in a calm and composed manner, "Fustu wa Rabbul Ka'bah," which means, "By the Lord of the Kaaba, I have succeeded." There are immortal lessons to be learned, not just from these words and other discourses of the Imam, but from all his actions and deeds spread over 63 glorious years, since the day he was born in the holiest of holies, that is, God's symbolic house, the Kaaba, and departed from the world after being struck the fatal blow on his head while in prostration to the Almighty in the Grand Mosque of Kufa, also a house of God. Imam Ali, peace upon him, was about to die, yet he was as calm and confident of the path ahead as he was on the day he volunteered to sleep on the Prophet's bed that fateful night of the Hijra 40 years ago, when assassins hovered around the abode of divine revelation and it was vital for his cousin to migrate undetected towards Medina. The bezels of wisdom bequeathed to humanity by the man who transcends history and historical developments are outside the scope of this brief radio program, which we would like to end with food for thought by presenting you two passages mentioned as letter number 47 in the famous book Nahjul Balagha from his last will on the deathbed. "I advise you to fear Allah. Do not go after this vicious world, though it may try to entice you. Do not seek it, though it may seek you, and do not grieve over and pine for things which this world refuses you. Let the eternal reward and blessings of Allah be the prompting factors for all that you say and do. Be an enemy of tyrants and oppressors, and be a friend and helper of those who are oppressed and tyrannized. Develop mutual liking, friendship, and love, and help one another. Take care that you do not spurn and treat one another badly and unsympathetically. Exhort people to do good and abstain them from evil. Otherwise, the vicious and the wicked will be your overlords, and if you willingly allow such persons to be your rulers, then your prayers will not be heard by Allah."
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.